God says, I'd have subdued their enemies. I would have fed them with the finest wheat. I would have given them honey from the rock, and I would have satisfied you. Is there anything greater than being satisfied by God? The world will not satisfy us.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Good day, everyone, and welcome. On Love Never Fails today, Pastor Bill continues his study from the Epistle of Ephesians with the conclusion to the message, and do this. Now, let's listen in.
You know, knowledge, loved one, doesn't have any emotion. But love does. Love is always greater than knowledge. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, remember in 13:1, though I speak with the tongues of men, angels, and I don't have love, I am become nothing but a sounding brass, a clanging cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy, understand all the mysteries, have all knowledge, and though I have all faith, that I can remove mountains. But if I don't have love, Paul says, we are nothing. It is only when we are walking in love, loving one another, when we are rooted and grounded in the agape of God that we have any spiritual capacity to understand the next verse. Verse 18, it says, Paul praying that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, what is the length, what is the depth, what is the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. You know, that scripture is deeper than I know how to teach. Listen, the word to comprehend, a better translation would be to apprehend. That means to take something, take a hold of something, and make it your own. And the word to know there means literally knowledge that is gained by experience. Do you know that God wants you to experience the love of God, the love of Christ? Now, when Paul wrote this prayer here, loved one, listen now. This is not our love for Jesus. This is Jesus' love for us. He says, what is the width? You know what? There's 19 million commentaries that'll tell you what that is. I'll tell you my own commentary. Not that I have one, but if I had one, this is what I would say. What is the width? What cannot be measured? You can't measure God's love. What is the depth? It cannot be measured. What is the length? It cannot be measured. What is the height? It cannot be measured. Why? Look at the scripture. It says, for the love of Christ passes knowledge. God's love for us is so deep, so wide, so high. Oh, loved one, so wide. How in the world can our finite minds truly comprehend it? But we can. Listen now. It passes knowledge, but it didn't pass away out of our hearts. That's where the love is, in our inner person. Amen? See, this is not head knowledge. This is heart knowledge, to love one another and to understand that He loves us. But the next part in verse 19 is deeper than I know how to even, I can't even get a grasp on it, loved one. Look at it. That you may be overflowing, that you may be saturated, that you may be filled with not part, but all of the fullness of God. Everything He is yours. All of His fullness. How do I even get a grasp upon that? Our entire being filled not only with the presence of God, the power of God, the love of God, the goodness of God, right now. That is a powerful, unbelievable, so overflowing that there's nothing left, no more room for anything else. You see, the word fullness there in the Greek is pleroma, the pleroma of God, if you will. That means the totality, the whole fullness, the full measure of the Godhead. Listen, you know, we should never, don't live like a mere man's, a carnal. No, listen, we are new creations in Christ. And let me say something else about this scripture now. This is the Holy Spirit of God praying through Paul, enabling him to pray the prayer that he's praying. This scripture that we're reading, all of the scriptures, of course, this is inspired, loved one. We have already been made full. Listen to these scriptures. It says in Colossians 1:19, "For it pleased the Father that in him," meaning Jesus, "all the fullness should dwell," meaning that all that God is, Jesus is. Jesus himself is the pleroma, or the fullness of God. Colossians 2:9, "For in Jesus dwells all, not 50%, all of the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Now listen to this one. "And you are," present fact, right now, "you are complete in him." The word complete, pleru. "You are overflowing, full to the top of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is ahead of all principality and power." That means that the church, we, the church, the body of Christ, we are the pleroma of our Savior. John 1:16, "And of his fullness we've all received grace for grace." Do you believe that? Do you believe that God's absolute fullness dwells in the body of Christ? Listen, possessing him, we possess everything. It says in Ephesians 1:22 and 23, it says, "To the church, which is Christ's body," here it comes, "the fullness of him who fills all in all." By now you're going, "You know what, Bill? This is just too deep. This prayer is overwhelming me. It's too deep for me. It's just too much for me." And here's what I say. Why don't you stop looking at you? I say that in love. Stop looking at you and start looking at our great God and our great Savior. So look how Paul closes this prayer. "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask, all that we think, according to the power that works in us," that energy from God, the power that works in us. And look at the purpose. "To him be glory." Where? Glory in the church. That's us, loved one, by Christ Jesus, to how many generations? Open your Bibles. They should be right there in front of you right now, your iPad or iPhone, whatever it is. It says to all generations. And look at this now, forever and ever. Amen. We are here in the midst of a pandemic, but even if we weren't in a pandemic, loved one, we are here to glorify Jesus Christ. It is our responsibility not only to acknowledge it, to reflect it, but to make it known to the world. We're the church. We are the sphere of where the glory of God is manifested, not a building. You, the church of Jesus Christ. Verse 20, now listen to me. Verse 20, "For God is able," that scripture. Verse 20 is our answer, listen carefully, is our answer to not miss what we are privileged to experience. Only the church. Oh, loved one, listen. God is able to do super abundantly above all that we can ask or think according to the power that is working in us. Amen? Let me read the Amplified version. It says, not only that, he says, "beyond our highest prayers." Oh, beyond our highest desires, our thoughts, our hopes, our dreams, God is able. But listen, for what kind of believer and what kind of church is this available for? It's available for those who allow the Holy Spirit to have his way in their lives. When we get over to Ephesians 5:18, "Be ye being filled with the Spirit." That is a command. Now, I want you to listen to me very carefully. I'm not a Greek scholar, but I study Greek scholars, and I want you to listen to what Wiest said about verse 20. Let me read it. He says this, "The saint," and I'm going to add, okay, to what he's saying, "the saint," and let's say the church too, "the saint determines what God is able to do for him. In his inerrant ability, there is no limit to what God can do in and through the saint. But the saint limits the working of God in and through him by the degree of his yieldedness to the Spirit." What a word. What a word to us. Oh, church, listen. Let us not miss what we are privileged to experience. I know that those that are listening, you that love the Lord, I know that you do not question that God is able. He's able to do anything. I know you know that. But do you question the fact that, well, God is able, but I don't know if he's able to do it for me? Loved one, that's wrong. God can do anything. And this word this morning is for us. You tell me something that God cannot do. You know, the coronavirus. Loved one, God is bigger than that. I mean, I don't want it. I don't want it near me. I don't want any of those things to happen to anybody, anywhere. But loved one, listen, He's bigger than everything. The word difficult, or it's just too hard, or I don't know what to do, they are not found in God's vocabulary, loved one. Nothing is impossible with God. And one of the greatest sins in the church today is that they put a limit upon what God can do. And that's what Israel, the children of Israel, did when they were going through the wilderness. Listen to this scripture in Psalm 78:40. How often they provoked Him in the wilderness and grieved Him in the desert. Here it comes. Yes, again and again they tempted God, and here it is, and limited the Holy One of Israel. The Hebrew word limit means to make a mark or draw a line, if you will, and so forth. They were giving the Creator of the entire universe a boundary line. You can't cross it. You can't do it. Can you furnish a table in the wilderness? No, you can't do that, God. Here we are out here now. No, listen. Listen, they limited the limitless one, which is Almighty God. And you know how they limited Him? The Bible says they forgot His power. They forgot they were redeemed. They forgot the signs and wonders. The only thing they remembered in the wilderness was the flesh pots and the leeks and the onions and the fish or whatever in Egypt. No, they limited God. Luke 1:37, for with God nothing will be impossible. Listen to this verse, Psalm 83:13. Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. You know, well, they didn't, did they? Later, when we get into the Gospels, we'll find that Jesus literally wept over Jerusalem. They didn't listen in the Old Covenant. They didn't listen when Jesus, the Messiah, came. Loved one, listen. Do you know that it hurts God, that God laments? Jesus wept, remember? God laments when we pass up the incredible privileges and the opportunities that God has given unto us. They missed what they were privileged to experience, and they didn't experience it. Listen to what God says He would do to those that didn't limit Him. He says in Psalm 81:14, God says, I'd have subdued their enemies. I would have fed them with the finest wheat. I would have given them honey from the rock, and I would have satisfied you. Is there anything greater than being satisfied by God? The world will not satisfy us. The things of the world will not satisfy us. Loved one, but God wants to satisfy your heart. Or don't worry now. Are you worried? Are you wondering what's going to happen? Listen, God is still in control. He's still upon the throne. He's not nervous about what's happening. And you know what? This is a time for miracles. This is a time for God to do great things where Jesus is glorified. You remember in the Bible, and under the old covenant there, whenever God was delivering the children of Israel from Pharaoh, He told Pharaoh, He said, Moses, you go in there and you tell Pharaoh in Exodus 8:23, and the Lord will make a difference. Let me read it again. The Lord will make a difference between my people and your people. What a word. Pharaoh, God makes a difference between you, His own, and you. Oh man, listen. How did they come out of the land of Egypt? Remember the Passover. Remember Exodus 12:13. God says, when I see the blood on the lintel of your doorpost, when I see the blood, not when I see your sin, not when I see your present condition, or not when I see your lack of faith. He said, when I see the blood, man, the power of the blood of the Lamb, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. For this reason, I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This incredible prayer of the Apostle Paul. Loved one, listen. Why should we bow our knees, oh God? It's because, loved one, we have been blessed. Amen? Remember all the way back to chapter 1. You know, thanks be unto God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus our Lord. He cannot bless you any more than He's already blessed you. Why do I bow the knee? Oh, loved one, listen, because I'm chosen in Him before the foundation of the earth. Not only that, I'm adopted. I'm accepted in the beloved. I'm redeemed. I'm forgiven. Oh, listen, I'm sealed with the Holy Spirit. Me, I was dead in trespasses and sin. He has made me alive. I have access to God in the heaven at the right hand where Jesus sits, to the throne of grace, access without condemnation. And not only that, even this very minute, no one here in the sanctuary, but I am being observed. You're being observed by the angels of God. Now listen, listen to me now. It is time. Oh, it is time to believe that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask and all that we can think. It is time for us to say, Lord, I want to experience the exceeding riches of your grace. It's time to kneel. It's time to bow before our great God. Psalm 95, 6, oh, come, let us, the church, oh, let us worship. Oh, come and let us bow down and let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God. We are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Listen to me, loved one, Calvary Chapel. Calvary, listen to me. Calvary, it's time to go to your knees. It's time right now. Everyone can kneel right there in your living room or your bedroom or on your patio or in your car or wherever you are, around the world, wherever you are. You kneel with me in a moment. Kneel with me. Those across America that have tuned in, you're so faithful. Kneel with me. Let's kneel together before God. Why? It's time. It's time for us to bow. It is time today with what we're facing to kneel before our God, our Father. And when we do, listen, we do it in faith. Listen to these scriptures. It says in John 14, 13, Jesus said, whatever you ask, say that word at home right now, say it, ask, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Listen now, if you ask, He says, God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above anything we can ask or think. Jesus said, if you ask anything, anything in my name, I will do it. Jesus said in John 15, 17, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will, and there's that word, ask what you desire. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Jesus said, oh, you will ask what you desire, and it will be done for you. James said in James 4, 2, you have not because you ask not. As I go and kneel before the Lord our God, I want to take what I wrote down this morning, and I want you to kneel with me right now. And I want you to bow your heads as I share this with you. I'm asking God this morning because He is able. And I said, oh God, we, the church, we're not asking that you make a difference between the world and the church. For you send the rain upon the just and the unjust alike. Father, I'm not asking you to make a difference like you did in Egypt between the Jewish children of Israel and the Egyptians. For I know that you love the world. Not just love the world. You so love the world that you gave your only begotten Son. But here is what I'm asking you. As you saw me this morning put this down, as I prayed to you, I said, Lord, we are only asking this, that you do what you said you would do. 1 John 5, 14 and 15, it says, and this is the confidence that we have in Him. If we ask, there's that word, if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And we know that if He hears us, that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. In other words, loved one, this is when we believe the Word of God, This is when we take what God said in His Word. We're not praying anything outside the will of God. We're praying God's Word. This is what you said. You said, Lord, that you're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Then here it comes. Only what your Word said, Lord. Not something out of my imagination, but your holy Word that stands forever. The flowers and the grass of the field, they're gone, Lord, but your Word, it endures forever. Lord, you said, He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. We are, Lord. We're in the Holy of Holies. We are the naos of God, Father. He says, oh, I will say of the Lord, He's my refuge, my fortress. In God, Him I will trust. Oh, God, we trust you. In Jesus' name, we trust you right now. Now listen to the promises. Surely He will deliver you from the perilous pestilence. I believe that. We believe that on our knees. We believe it because these are desperate times. We believe it with all of our heart that you promised to deliver us, rescue us from the perilous pestilence, that you would cover us with your wings, and your wings, oh God, are like iron, that we don't have to be afraid of the terror by night. We don't have to be afraid of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at our side, 10,000. But it shall not come near us. Oh, no, because we have made you, the Lord, our refuge, our hiding place. Lord, this is what you said. No evil shall befall us, nor any shall any plague come near our homes. Lord, this is your word, not my word. It says, with long life, I will satisfy Him and show Him my salvation. Father, that is our prayer as we bow our knees. Father, do the impossible. Oh, what's impossible for the White House? What's impossible? Oh, God, it's not about making this nation great again. God, we want you to make our nation great again. In the midst of this hell, Lord, in the midst of the death, in the midst of the carnage, oh, Lord, we love you. We praise you. We honor you. Oh, Lord, plunge this virus to its death. Drive it from our land. Destroy the destroyer. Lift this plague and remove the perilous pestilence. We pray, and I believe with all of my heart, let it not touch one person at Calvary. Let it not touch one person who hears the sound of my voice. Not one, Lord. I believe it. We believe it. Not one, for your glory. Forever and ever and ever. Oh, Lord, let your work appear to your servants. Oh, Lord, let your glory be to our children. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the work of our hands. Yes, establish the work of our hands. We love you. We give you praise. We believe that you are able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ask. All that we could dare to ask, all that we could ever think or dare to think, according to the power of the Holy Spirit that is working in us. Father, bless your people. Bless the sheep and the pasture. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, we all say, amen.
Thanks, everyone, for spending some of your day with us. And just a reminder, Pastor Bill will continue his study in Ephesians tomorrow, and we hope you'll tune in once again. Be blessed today, and so long for now. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.